to Julian Assange, he said that he was offered a pardon by Donald.
The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatballs. Testicles.
Pointy at the talking.
Coming normal.
Which part of that was confusing? I've got a real problem with that.
Bloody.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show on 2SER, now available in 4K. For those of you who don't know, sport is a five-letter word beginning with S. Some other five-letter words beginning with S include silly, slimy, slime, slaps, savvy, scary, saint.
You're a saint, Joel.
Thank you.
You're also slime.
I said slimy. Well, I actually said slime. Silly, slimy, slime, slaps, savvy,
your
scary,
saute,
saint.
Your sauce.
Sauce, yeah. Thank you.
No worries.
Seven.
Yes, that's five letters.
Prince Joel Kasem is my name, but you can call me Joel. And in what is becoming an epidemic, one of my co-hosts is off sick.
Is it COVID-19?
What's that? Okay. Oh, is that what it's called?
That's the official term.
Why can't they just run with coronavirus?
Because it's a coronavirus. Can't call something coronavirus. Coronavirus is a sort of virus.
Yeah.
So they were calling it the coronavirus, but that's actually like a term for the virus itself. You've got to give it a name. Oh, look, you can't say, oh, here comes Hurricane. You got to call it something. You're like Hurricane Bob or Hurricane Joel.
I'm still so confused. Oh, okay. No, I don't understand. So you're saying there's different strands of the coronavirus?
Yes.
That's all you had to say.
Oh.
Strand.
Strand. That's six letters.
D it is. Anyway, you've already... Look, joining me today is a man who lost his three pet baboons this week. It's Mick Rad.
Has anyone seen Bill, Dolly and...
Go on.
Cindy?
Cindy?
My three baboons have gone running away.
They have.
I blame the hospital for the botched vasectomy.
Yours?
And for losing the baboons. That's separate incidents. How good was that? I loved... That's just such a feel-good story. Except that the baboons were there in a secret laboratory being tested on.
Yeah, so
that
there is a dark side to this story.
Actually, we should have been cheering on to run free. Imagine just having baboons just lived around Newtown.
I know.
As just everyone just went, hey, there's Cindy, Dolly, and...
The other name you said.
Carl?
Carlos.
Prince Joel.
Yeah, so...
When were you ordained?
No.
Knighted?
No. That's Sir.
Oh.
What are you? You're just royal family. What is that?
Oh, your parents were royalty and they passed it on to you.
That's true.
Unless you're Prince Harry and then you just bugger off.
That's what I was going for.
Oh,
so
I
think it was like this week he was like, no, don't call me that anymore. Just call me Harry.
Really? No,
yeah.
Prince?
Yeah.
And he's given it to you. He's said, hey,
Joel?
That's
why I said, just call me Joel.
Oh.
Look, I got thrown off. I wrote this on the train because Gabby called in sick. Can we talk about her, please? Because that's not fair.
Oh, Gabby, where are you?
Yeah, where are you, Gab?
I can't even make fun of her because she's legitimately not well. And, you know, it wouldn't be nice to make fun of her.
We're going to do it anyway.
But!
Yeah, so she last minute has called in sick. I think this is the second time this year. It's only February. So I guess that's once a month for her. That's not too bad. That's pretty average.
Can we just relocate this podcast to her bedside instead?
Well, we could if we were just a podcast, I suppose.
Mm.
But we do have an audience of live listeners too.
I forgot that part of it.
Who enjoy
live radio.
This program. That's correct.
Live,
yes.
7 p.m. on Friday on 2SER.
I mean, you're already listening, so you should know that.
Well, no, some people are listening to the podcast and they don't know we're on live.
I think most people listen to the podcast.
Mm.
Although, I don't know. That's for another day.
Of course, on
951.
What's your number? We're all going to look it up. 04.
My number. Please don't give out my number.
Nah.
Anyway, here we are, you and I.
Yeah, the A-team is back.
The A-team.
Yeah. We can talk sport without someone interjecting about not liking sport. Because this is a sports show, after all.
It is a sports show. I mean,
we forget that sometimes. Last week we had the ladies of Dude Cinema in here.
Yes, the ladies got to Dude Cinema.
Who were amazing and so funny. And we didn't talk sport hardly at all, but it was a really good episode.
I think we did. Like, sport did sort of was there the whole time.
Well, it's part of our, you know, guide to our show. We have to talk about sport in some way.
Yes. And I think the way we did it last week was perfect. This week, not so perfect, because we actually do have a little bit of sports news we will talk about. But before we get into any of that,
yes,
you have a segment. Shall we run with the segment?
Oh, you're
going
to do it first.
No, I don't have to do it later.
You do it later.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got to build up to it. Do you want to do the intro live later? You know,
sure, that would be fun.
I'm only joking.
Oh, damn. What about a bit of content?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do the content.
Now, I don't have any.
Now, come on. You must have done something this week that's worthy of, you know, you getting out and about, you going out and
I'm
swimming,
thinking,
walking.
No, I've done nothing. My cricket team, the Mighty Wood Ducks.
The Mighty, Mighty Wood Ducks.
Have decided that this is our final season.
Ever?
Yes.
How long have you been going?
I can't remember. It's either 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is the passion gone, Joel?
It feels that way a lot of people. Like, I still love it and I don't want it to end. Yeah. But other guys are just like, you know, they've got families now.
And it's getting harder to find 11 players every week.
Yeah, Saturday morning is getting hard for everyone. So,
look, I used to play cricket too, but we didn't play early. Like, what time do you start?
10? 9.
See, that's too early on a weekend. We used to start at like 11 and we did like 40-over match.
Back yeah.
Then. But I don't know. It takes up a lot, big chunk of your weekend in summer where it's really nice and you sort of want to be out doing stuff. Instead, you're out in the field. Like boiling. It's been some really hot days this year, and you've been out playing in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, you had the great cricketer on here the other day. They've played the most great cricket games ever.
Yep.
And, you know, what kept him going? Just his love of cricket.
Just love of it. Yeah, he just really enjoyed it.
But if you're in a good team and everyone's keen, I think it helps.
It does help, yeah.
But yeah, when it takes a couple of people to just sort of go, nah. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, this season, we are in the lowest possible division.
Yeah.
There's only 10 teams. The right. top 8 make the finals, and we're not going to make the finals.
Oh, no! It's like when you get to the bottom and you can't be relegated any further, you just fold the team.
Well, we have to go play golf, and that's what we're going to do.
Golf instead.
Like golf is going to sort of take over.
Well, go.
Oh, I'm just going to say I'm going to miss it. Yeah. It's going to make me sad.
Well, play indoor cricket instead, I reckon.
Well, that's sort of been thrown off as well, maybe a bit of indoor.
I like some indoor. I used to play a lot. I was really good as a bowler.
Okay.
I used to bowl first and last because you didn't get two overs. So your best bowler bowls the first over, your best bowler bowls the last over. Or sometimes they bowl the last two and the last four out of the four.
But, okay.
Yeah, I used to love indoor cricket. I used to umpire. Umpiring is really another whole thing. When you're umpiring indoor cricket, you're so many angry little people.
We never talk about indoor cricket, so we might as well for a minute now.
Yeah, we can because you don't have someone over there on a phone. It's no different.
Exactly. She'd just be going, shut up. So we haven't got that. But it's been a long time since I played maybe one season of indoor cricket, and I don't really remember the rules. There's an umpire?
Of course there's an umpire.
Are they in the nets or are they?
No, they're up behind the batter. Okay. So it's very hard to judge LBs, so you just don't. But you're also hard to judge runouts because, you know, you're looking down the other end of the field. You got to look at, so you always look at the stumps.
Yep.
Sorry, no. You'll always look at the bat and you listen for the stumps and you try and judge whether they were in or out from far away. And you get it wrong sometimes. Yeah. I used to get it wrong and then people would just want to beat me up in the car afterwards.
But that's standard for all umpires, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have a thick skin to be an umpire or a referee, any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Good fun though. I'll teach you the rules later.
Okay.
Use the nets. That's what I'll teach you. That's the hint.
And can you get caught off the nets?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Except for sixes.
Except for sixes.
If it hits the back net on the full,
yep.
And then they catch it, that's not out, but they can run you out. So it's you still got to run to get the six.
And you have two batters in there, don't you?
Two batters, yeah, and you get four as a couple.
As a couple.
As a pair. do you want to hear about my AFL 9s? Because I was supposed to play. I'm in the team. I've played two games out of four.
Yeah, I think we spoke about it.
Because this week I had to choose between learning about beer, drinking beer, and playing AFL 9s. There's a beer training course.
Oh.
And I had to choose. What would you choose? Drinking beer and getting paid for it or playing AFL 9s?
Well, I mean, if you've twisted my arm, I'd say the beer.
Yeah, so it wasn't a hard decision, and I do feel for the team. We're not going well. We haven't won a game yet.
Oh.
We lost the first two grading games, which is sort of good, because then you get put in the lower division. Grade, yeah. We're fine with that, because we haven't played for a bit. Now we still haven't won, so
okay.
It's a bit of a worry. I'll give you an update next week.
All right. But how was the beer tasting?
Oh, it was amazing. I bet my elbow so many times. I think I won.
You won? Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed it. All right.
You weren't invited, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Just in case you weren't sure that you'd miss the invite. Yeah.
All right, so look, what's going to happen? Are we going to go into sport now, or do you want to do your thing? Or do you save it for later?
No, we'll do it after sport.
Do it after sport. Yeah. All right, let's do a bit of...
Sport!
Scour. It's 5 letters.
Where did that come from?
I've got a list of 5-letter words starting with S on my phone.
Maybe someone texted in.
I'm just... Oh, yeah, they did.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Well, it's coming very close to the NRL season, so we're going to be playing a bit of this.
Yeah, no worries. How good's footy?
I'm ready for footy. I always get really excited starting... Coming up to the season, we had the Nines a few weeks ago. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about the Indigenous and Maori All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the game?
Look, I went to a mutual friend's house, Adrian's house, and I watched the game, but sort of was more interested in my pizza and, and the beer and stuff like that. But we watched it, and I think it was good. You can see it's still a bit, everyone's a bit rough around the edges. No one's played properly for a while.
It was a rough game though, wasn't it? I felt like they were going all in, and there was a couple of injuries out of it.
There was, yeah. But Melbourne Storm player Brennan Smith, he helped them. So I'm saying Maori. What are you saying?
Maori.
Am I saying it wrong?
Maori is sort of like the way they say it.
Oh.
So if you want to say it correctly,
yes,
that's how you say it.
Maori. All Stars. Yes. To their first ever win over the Indigenous All Stars last Saturday night, as we said, 30-16, come from behind victory. And yes.
There were some good tries. There was backflips. Of course, Blake Ferguson doing his trademark backflip, and every Parramatta fan holding their breath when he doesn't land.
Every other
does his
rugby
knee.
League watcher going, fall on your head. Don't make it. Only go halfway.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't make any difference to his head. Brendan Smith, yeah, he can't get a run at the Storm. But he nailed it. Like, he killed it.
Yeah, it was
as hooker
such
for the
yeah.
for the Maori All-Stars.
Yes. Had a great game. Finished with 175 metres from 13 runs, 5 tackle breaks and 4 line breaks. Mm. Adam Blair created history by becoming the first player to use the captain's challenge system.
Oh, I was watching the commentary on Fox Sports and they were like, no one's going to use it. No one's going to use it. Come on, use it. And then he finally used it and they're like,
right at the end.
So the idea is that obviously during a game, it's like cricket where you've got like a DRS. So you can choose to try and override the umpire's decision and they're going to look at the video. Then you get one shot at it.
Yeah.
If you get it wrong,
it's gone.
That's it gone. If you get it right, you get another go.
That's right.
But it's I don't know. I'm not convinced on it.
I don't know. We'll see. Like, it's going to get trialed this year, whether it works or not. We'll see. They use it in the lower grades. It seems to be okay.
I don't really know much about it. Can the coach make the call, or it has to be the guy, the captain on the field?
Yeah, captain on the field. Because it's really quick.
Because
you get like 10 seconds.
How can anyone on the field know?
Well, you can't.
You just don't really know, unless you're the guy who did it.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. If you think you put the ball down and you reckon that you can prove it, or whatever it is. Is it only for tries?
No, it's for anything. But so this was for a knock-on. They use it for a knock-on. And it was overturned because he did knock it on. But that's the thing. I think if you're the actual player that either drops it or doesn't drop it or whatever, you will get up. And if you know and you are good at not lying, you'll just turn to the captain and be like, check it. Because that's, do it right now. Do it. Because you get 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Not enough time for them to turn around.
How long do they have to look at it to make a decision?
Oh, I don't know that.
They should have a limit on that too. Because I can just see some of these as gone. Because you're not going to be conclusive.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's the problem. They're going to slow down the game more.
Yeah.
Okay. In the women's match, the Indigenous All-Stars won 10-4. Yes. Indigenous All-Stars winger Nakia Davis-Welsh turned in a blinder.
Turned in a blinder. That makes sense.
To inspire a 10-4 win over the Ferns after a triumphant return to the team she debuted in as a 16-year-old. So she was off all of last year because she had a baby.
There you go.
There you go. And came back in.
That's pretty bloody amazing to come back after having a baby and then play so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good concept. I really like it. And like I was saying, they're playing pretty tough. They're not really holding back. And there's a couple of injuries. Nothing major except for... No, there was nothing major in that game. There was an ACL done in like another trial game. Cameron King did his ACL.
Okay.
Which is quite sad, actually, because he's just come back.
So Parramatta number 9, right?
Used to be. Doesn't play for Parra anymore.
Oh, who does he play for?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Can't remember.
It's not sad.
Well, it is, because he's actually a nice guy, and it was unfortunate to happen in a trial game.
Yeah. I mean, I think, is it St. George lost 3 players from the 9s? Through injury, like that won't start the season. I think possibly. So like Matt Duffy, I know, broke his cheek. One of the Sims brothers broke an arm.
Tarek's out for like 5 weeks, I think.
And then there was someone else, another good player is out. So you'd be cheering if you were playing Saints in the first round.
But we've only got a few weeks to go till the start of the season. I think it's the 6th. No, I should know because Parramatta is starting the season. 12th.
I was going to say, it's around the 14th, I think.
Oh. Well, what are we going to do that weekend for our show? Anyway, we'll work it out. I'll have to preview it the week before.
We will.
All right. Good.
Okay. In golf.
Golf?
Now, yes. In golf news.
Okay. Joel rejoins the local club.
Is that the pretty news? Much, yeah. No. New South Wales police have descended onto Woollahra Golf Course using the land to detonate a World War II bomb discovered at a nearby apartment block.
What?
Yeah, this happened through the week.
An actual bomb in a golf course?
Yeah. So it was found in an apartment block, right? Oh, okay. Someone's found it, gone, this is not right. Probably shouldn't be here.
Jeez.
Called the police, called Australian Defence Force. All these people came down, went, this is a World War II bomb.
I don't understand how it can be lasting this long in someone...
I don't know.
How have they got it there?
I don't know. None of that was explained.
They bought it on eBay.
Possibly. So it went down to Rose Bay, where it was disposed of on the course. They had to do like a 300-meter exclusion zone.
I hope they used the bunkers to protect themselves. Get it?
No.
Oh, come on. Bunker? Golf?
Yeah.
Bunker?
Oh, bunker. Oh, that's good.
World War II?
That's good.
Oh.
I that joke just didn't even... Well done.
Thanks.
No, that's a good joke.
thanks, Gabby.
So a lot of people had to stop their rounds of golf.
Oh, rude.
to blow up a bomb.
That's good golf news.
Good golf news,
right? Doesn't involve golf is the best golf news.
In balloon racing.
Oh, good. We haven't talked about balloon racing before.
Never. So in 1988, the Bicentennial Balloon Challenge saw 78 balloons travel from Perth to Sydney. That was a long time ago, so we're not talking about that, or we actually will be. But now they want to bring it back for next year.
Okay? Racing across the country.
Yeah, so you take off from Perth and fly to Sydney.
Can you tell me, Joel?
Yeah, I can.
How can one balloon go faster than another balloon when you're all using the wind?
I don't know.
That's the same
with yachting, isn't it, surely?
Oh, but... you're tacking and yachting. You're going left and right. You're changing direction.
Maybe that's got to do with
this. I
don't
see how you can even change direction. Maybe you move.
I've never been in a hot air balloon. Have you been in a hot air balloon?
I have, yes. A couple of times.
So they use the... It's just all like...
You're going up and down. Yeah. So maybe if you find the right current...
Yes.
But how do you even
move that? That has to be it.
It's just luck.
I have no idea. All right. But anyway, they actually have... there was stages, or not even stages, but you had to do tasks along the way.
Oh, right. Go through the rings.
Sort of. it was pretty full on. So they had, there was something about throwing, you had to throw something out into, I don't know.
Imagine if you throw like a bowling ball off the edge and landed on one of those more mini trampolines. That'd be great.
And you had to catch it again.
It's going to come back up. And you get like bonus points. Or it just goes through the top of the balloon and then you will die.
Then you're dead. So they had all these challenges. So like 900 people were in it last time. Well, 900 participants.
Wow.
I don't think there was that many balloons. And they had things like, they had, so the organizers put a gold nugget, right, on a post in the air. And the balloons had to fly in, and if you grabbed it, you got to keep it. $20,000 gold nugget.
Oh, wow. That sounds dangerous.
That's very dangerous. some American guys. So there was people from all over, UK, America. They all came in. I don't know how they got here. They flew straight onto the top of a on top of a house, knocked off an air conditioning unit.
Is that part of the rule? Part of the game?
I don't think it was. No. It says here, despite some injuries and broken bones, all 78 balloons made it to Sydney.
Is there any more environmentally friendly travel than that? Oh, no, wait, you got petrol on the bloody flame thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think walking.
That's probably not
good. Walking, maybe.
All right. You might go through your, might blow a few sneakers.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Well, actually, we can talk about that next.
Oh, really?
In running. Now, this is some news from last week, but we were very busy last week and didn't get to bring this up. You mentioned this before, but so the other day, a guy named Joshua, last name unpronounceable, broke the 5 kilometer road world record by 27 seconds wearing Nike's controversial...
The bouncy ones.
Yeah. Boing, boing. Vaporfly Next Percent shoes.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
They're like just got springs in them, basically.
Yeah. So he smashed his world record by 30 seconds, basically.
Yeah.
That's a lot in when you're talking 5K, in terms of...
Oh, any running record.
That's running.
What does it say, 5K? It's not that far.
5K.
Like, for these runners, it's, not, it's like nothing.
Yeah. So
he's probably sprinting it. Like
they'd be running the whole time.
Yeah.
12 minutes and 51 seconds wearing Nike's controversial new shoes. Now, there was more to this, I think. No. Oh, it's all, it just goes on to talk about the Tokyo Olympic Games. And
well, they're not going to be allowed, right?
It is expected the Alpha Fly will be worn and available at the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Ooh.
And according to someone, it will have a foam height of 39.7 millimetres to just scrape in under the limit. There you go. Right. So there are rules, but I think they technically are abiding by the rules.
Okay. Well, that's going to be controversial, you wait. But this guy is the same guy that we talked about who broke the
different guy.
Olympic rule.
Same shoes.
Oh, same shoes. Okay, yeah. Sorry. There you go. Well that's done.
I thought you had more. Okay.
No, I didn't.
In cricket... in the women's, Aussie captain Meg Lanning helped her side to a victory against Sri Lanka in their second match of the World Cup T20 tournament, only days after crumbling to India.
And that was a bad loss because now we're playing on Monday in Adelaide against Bangladesh, I think.
No, it's...
Oh, who are we playing
It's last night.
Oh.
Oh. It's one of those instances where we're recording a day early, ladies and gentlemen.
Oops.
So we don't know the score. I'm going to assume they're going to beat Bangladesh.
Yeah, but there's a game next week, I'm pretty sure, where there's rain predicted.
Ooh.
And if we draw that game, then the game's on. Yeah. It's not Bangladesh, sorry.
No.
But if we draw, then we could miss out on the final.
Really?
So only the top two teams in each pool go through.
Do you know who that game is against next week? So it must be a high-ranked team like England.
Monday, Australia, New Zealand. Australia, New Zealand next Monday. But we're predicting rain, and if for some reason it rains out, we could miss out on the top two. Might not make the semis. Because there's only two semis and then a final, so it's all very quick at the end.
Yeah.
New Zealand are currently coming second, but they just lost to India in our pool.
Yep.
As well, so India are going to easily get through pretty much, but it'll be a battle between Australia and New Zealand.
Who gets second?
Mm.
Ooh, interesting.
And the finals on Australian International Women's Day.
Sunday
the 8th.
That's fantastic. So Meg Lanning scored an unbeaten 41 with batting partner and vice captain Rachel Haynes doing a lot of the heavy lifting, making 60. I watched this game. It was really cool. We looked in so much trouble. Sri Lanka finished at 6 for 122. Seemed like a pretty easy score to get. We were out there. We were 3 for 10 start. Yeah. It looked
Everyone's heart in their mouth. Going,
yes.
Oh my God,
it looked appalling.
Get kicked out.
And then, as I said, Lanning and Haynes just came in and took over. And
nice.
We were sweet. And poor Sri Lanka, never beaten us in a World Cup.
And Elise Perry's batting at like number 7. So
yeah, she really just kept dropping herself down.
She's a bit injured though. She's got a dodgy shoulder.
Yeah.
So I think she's fighting to get fit.
In the men's, Australia have beaten South Africa 2-1 in their 3 T20s. Australia thrashed them in game 1 by 107 runs, but were beaten by 12 runs in the second match, then went on to win game 3 by 97.
Clinical.
Clinical.
It's you know the other word for clinical in a T20? Boring. When a game is that one-sided, you're just like, what's the point?
Yeah. Well, I mean, South Africa won game 2.
Oh, no, I did. But like the game, the third game, which was the decider, we just romped them.
Smashed them.
Nothing in it.
Yeah. Ashton Agar took a hat-trick in game 1 and then was on another one in game 3.
Yeah.
I don't know how common that is to get.
Oh, imagine that, 2-in-1 series.
Yeah.
Never done, I reckon.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Also in cricket, Did you see this? Don Bradman.
What?
Sir Don Bradman.
Yes.
The only known colour footage of him playing cricket has been found.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's footage of him batting in his second last first class innings. So he'd already retired from Test match cricket. So he'd already had that out in at the Oval for a duck, but had the 99.94 thing. That all had already happened. This is years later.
Turns out he's a ranger. I just didn't know.
He's a what?
Ranger.
Really. Yeah. He's a ranger. Yeah, we would never have known. Now, there's been...
Oh, people see him in colour, right?
Okay. Yes, it didn't just change. Remember when everything was black and white?
Yeah.
So this was after, and he played in, it was sort of like a, it was like a first class match, but it was not, like a not real game. It was like a couple of old captains made their teams, and they went out and played each other. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway, so it's really, it's quite interesting to see, because it's in colour, and it's cool to see the crowd in colour as well.
Back then?
There's no sound.
Oh.
It's just some guy filming.
Oh, there was no sound back then.
No
one could talk.
It was black and white and no one could talk.
It was, you know, really hard to like know when the ball bounced and when he got hit because you just couldn't hear anything.
So I wrote it down here. Oh, okay. So this guy who filmed it, his son found it. What is that?
Nothing.
What was that?
Nothing.
Was that your phone ringing?
No.
It was. Who was it?
No, it's just gone now.
Fine. Yeah. Unbelievable. It wasn't Gabby, was it? this guy found his father's footage. And it was in an old, like, can, you know, because it's like 16mm film or whatever.
Yeah.
It was marked Manly and Bondi Beach, Sydney, 1949. You would have just watched it and be like, wow. No, that's Don Bradman.
How cool to discover that footage and go, whoa, I've got something pretty special here.
Yeah. So he gave it to a museum, of which I've forgotten.
Lovely.
In soccer news, the Matildas, this again is news from, actually, no, we won't do this. We already know that the Matildas did well.
Oh, yeah, they're in.
And made their, they got to play Thailand and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We know all that already.
Yep.
But we will mention this. So Gabby sent us this video through the week. Tied us down, made us watch it. A Scottish soccer player named Jane O'Toole was on the side of a pitch hammering her own dislocated knee cap back in.
wrong.
The St. Mirren's captain is gross.
Yeah.
The St. Mirren's captain was tackled by an Inverness player and rolled. And you see her, she like looks at her knee and then realizes it's not right and just goes to town on it.
Yeah.
Hammering it back in. And then it got back in. Like people, they stopped the game and whatever. She went on and played.
Yeah.
They lost 7-0. But how, like,
yeah,
how courageous.
Do you reckon it must happen a bit? Like it wouldn't have been the first time she's done that.
You reckon?
I reckon. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like she, because just watching the video, she sort of looks at it and is like, oh, no, this isn't right.
Oh.
And just starts hitting it.
But don't you reckon, like, well, maybe it was just an instinct thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Get it back where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me just.
Yeah, it's really gross. All right, we'll move on. Let's play a game.
Oh, okay. Do I have no time for my segment anymore?
Oh, your segment. No, do you want to do it?
How long have you got?
2 minutes.
Oh, no. Okay, we'll do a game.
Yeah?
Okay.
Leftover questions from last week.
I think we've played this game before.
Definitely have. Okay, so these are movie questions.
Oh, what movie questions?
Yeah, because we had the movie show last week, so these are just leftovers. Ready? It's just you. So say your name.
You do a question, then I've got a question.
Okay.
But not on movies.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
What was? This is so easy.
Oh.
What was the name of the country club in the movie Caddyshack?
Oh, no, I don't remember this.
Really?
I'm not a huge Caddyshack watcher. I would not be able to tell you at all. Should I watch it again? Like, I watched it when I was a kid. I haven't watched it, like, since.
Really?
Yeah.
It's great. There are so many great lines.
What's the
there name? Are some... I mean, there are some moments in the film you're like,
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but, stereotypical bad 80s humor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the name of it?
Oh, Bushwood.
Bushwood
Country Club.
So, remember that? Not, doesn't even ring a bell.
Okay. No. Go, what's your question?
Oh, okay. This is a question from like weeks ago when I didn't finish it. which sport has the record for the longest ever match? And now you can choose between cricket, chess, or snooker.
Oh, I'm going to say chess.
You'd be right. Guess how long it went for?
24 hours.
5 months. 5 months. One match, and a match it consists of like a lot of games.
Yes.
Because it's the first to six wins.
Yes.
No matter how many games it takes. 48 games.
Really?
And they still couldn't find a winner, and they eventually abandoned after 40 draws in a row.
Wow.
This is between Garry Kasparov and Anatoly Karpov.
Oh, of course.
In 1984.
That's right.
Over into 1985. it's just ridiculous. I looked it up. I was just amazed. This is like chess, ultimate chess games. Like, no one can win.
That is insane.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Okay. Well, look, that's the end of the show, Mick.
Oh, well, it was nice.
All our love to Gabby.
Yeah.
I think this episode's going to be gay.
Zap! Open your purse.
Gay rights!
Let's go! Let's go, lesbians! Let's go!
You're listening to It's a Gay Area with Ruby and Patrick. Buckle up, bitch.
Hello! Were you about to sing happy birthday?
No, because it's not my or your or our guest's birthday.
Oh. Maybe,
to my knowledge.
Maybe someone who's listening, maybe it's their birthday today.
I'm still not going to sing happy birthday.
Yeah, that's also fair.
My name's Patrick.
My name's Ruby.
I'm back after being held as a prisoner of war for 2 weeks in Broome.
In Broome?
Broome.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, like, good for you for getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Of Broome?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Broome's great. I've never been, but I'm sure it's
I have
lovely.
Been.
And it's great?
Well, I haven't been as a prisoner of war. That was a joke. But I have been. And it's nice. It's very hot. The tap water tastes a little bit weird.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like a Broome?
I've never tasted a Broome.
That's unfortunate. This is It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. The only gay show.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world. It's crazy how that works.
Happy Martin's Grass.
Happy Martin's Grass.
It's my only joke I have about
Martin's. No, it's good.
It's the day we celebrate Martin's lovely lawn.
Oh, it's great lawn.
He works hard on it.
It is Mardi Gras.
It's Mardi Gras.
The parade's tomorrow.
Yeah, so the parade is the end of Mardi Gras. It's been Mardi Gras. It had been Mardi Gras.
And continues to be done.
Mardi Gras.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's lovely and we love it for us.
Yeah. And there's a lot of gay shit happening.
Yeah,
as we
there
know,
is.
We love gay shit.
We really do. It's the reason we have this show. So as Ruby did say, the parade is tomorrow. So if you don't have any other plans, go shimmy on down to that. But there are a lot of parties as well. So I believe a lot of the big ones may be sold out. So if you can't get a ticket to that, I'm sure a kindly stranger will let you in their house to drink, but also be very safe and careful.
And if you're going around Oxford Street, you might see me. I will be representing It's a Gay Area at the Media Bay and just asking people completely irrelevant questions.
What do you think about this?
Yeah.
Don't ask.
Where am I?
Who are you?
what's your name? And then they'll give me their name. And I'm like, what's my name? And that'll be a bit of brain twister for them.
Yeah, I know. And if you're around Manning Bar for the Heapscape Party, you might see me there, not doing work, but being respectful to others.
That's great. It's good to be respectful to others.
It really is.
So stay tuned. We're going to play a little bit of music. And then afterwards, we will be speaking to the lovely Sarah Dale, who is the RACS Centre Director and Principal Solicitor, about a queer speed dating event that they will be holding very soon. Very
Ooh,
exciting.
Ooh, do you love love?
Do you want to be in love?
No, I'm asking you a question.
Oh, I love love.
Do you love love?
I love love.
You love love.
Love love. Love love. Love love. Love to be in love.
Love is love.
Love is love. Is love. So speaking of love.
This is so important.
This is so important.
Lady Gaga has released the first single of her new album, Chromatica, I believe it's called, LG6. It was absolutely not leaked a couple of weeks ago and everyone has not already heard it. But it is now legally available for download and purchase and streaming. And we're going to listen to it now because it's fun and good and gay.
Absolutely. And you're going to hear it now. And it's called Stupid Love. It's Stupid Love.
Yes.
So you're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. This is Stupid Love by Lady Gaga. We'll be right back. You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3, and that was a new single from Sweet Whirl, who is a sweet little local baby.
Sweet Whirl's a lovely name.
Lovely name.
Makes me think of whipped cream.
I know, and I love whipped cream.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I saw like show yourself now. I just want to talk.
I saw a life hack where it was like, put whipped cream in your hair and then wash it out.
I should stop you right there. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that.
And then it was like, wash it out with shampoo and it will make your hair all lush. And it's like, that's just not correct.
Have you like used a leave-in conditioner? Have you used any hair products before just like slapping whipped cream in your hair?
Attempt to simply wash
hair. Was this 5-minute hacks?
Yes, it was. So anyway, not speaking of 5-minute hacks.
We should interview them one day, though.
We should. So we are joined by the ever so lovely Centre Director and Principal Solicitor of the Refugee Advice and Casework Service, Sarah Dale. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Oh, our pleasure. Now, in terms, like speaking quite directly to what you do at RACS, what are some struggles that LGBT refugees face that otherwise cisgender and heterosexual refugees don't?
That's a great question and something that I always struggle to articulate, particularly to the people that I'm working with that are about to go through the process. The first thing that I often do is apologise for the fact that I'm a heterosexual, white, privileged woman that will never go through what they're about to go through. And one of those things is needing to establish your identity. If someone presents at the Department of Immigration saying, I'm married to this person, this is my husband, this is my wife, they don't have to demonstrate usually their heterosexual as being an element of their identity. But for those who identify as LGBTI, they need to prove that element of themselves to the department before their relationship might be accepted, for instance, which I think is one of the real, the pinnacle issues for so many of the clients that we represent, is they have to not only prove their relationships or prove their history, they need to prove their identity as well.
That's it seems so bizarre, like as a sort of comparison, like innocent till proven guilty. No, you have to prove to us you're queer. Yeah. Prove it. Kiss this man.
We've brought in a man for you to kiss to prove to us. Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, it is. It does seem quite invasive almost, like, and it's not something a lot of people outside of the community or even like within the community who haven't experienced being a refugee would know about, really.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Already the process for seeking protection is incredibly invasive. You need to list everywhere you've ever been, every house you've ever lived with, all your family members, their details. It's quite a long and arduous process for anyone who's seeking protection. For those identifying as LGBTI, there is that additional element of invasiveness in demonstrating, well, I discovered my sexuality at this point. I told others about myself at this point. If you were a heterosexual applicant, you wouldn't be asked, when did you tell your parents that you decided you were a straight white man? That's obviously not something that the department ask of applicants. Whereas those that do identify, particularly as gay or lesbian, they need to make those evidence banks, I guess, for the department in order to be accepted as being truthful.
Yeah, and what proportion of refugees are fleeing because of their gender or sexuality, like their gender identity? Is that a big reason why people do often seek protection?
So it's a really hard question to answer in terms of numbers, because often a reason someone seeks protection is multifaceted.
Yeah,
it might be because they do identify as LGBTI, but also they might have political reasons because they've stood for rights for others and then they're being targeted not only for their sexuality or their gender identity, they're also being targeted for their political implications. So it is something that we struggle to capture in terms of those kind of statistics. But certainly it's something that we see very often at RACS, and something I'm really proud that our lawyers are trained to support people through that process, particularly those that are identifying with sexuality or gender identity claims, because it is particularly nuanced, it is particularly invasive, and it's a really personal issue that someone needs to navigate, which is why it's so important that we have services like RACS, like ours, that are there to support people through that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you think the government's really doing enough to support these queer refugees?
Absolutely not. I don't think the government's...
Bam.
The government's not doing enough to support refugees, period.
Oh, yeah. Period, yeah.
So that was an easy one to answer, I guess. I think that there does need to be more consciousness in the area. I think that when people find out what people go through in having to demonstrate their claims, in having to speak to an officer or even a lawyer about the very history of their sexual relationships in order to prove who they are.
Which is like even a confronting enough thing if you're doing it for like medical reasons or something. But like to do it to someone who's not offering you any immediate care.
Yeah.
You're just telling man in a suit, this is who I've slept with.
But the man in the suit holds your destiny.
Yeah.
Right? That man in the suit or that woman behind the desk is the one who is deciding between life or death for you. And so that power imbalance is also one that we haven't got a solution for yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think in terms of the government doing enough for these people, like it's very much not seen as a human issue by a lot of the these refugees aren't like people to them, and which isn't like their fault necessarily, but like they're not seen as individual people with like this sounds terrible, but like hopes and dreams and like stuff to do. Like it's just a group of things.
Yeah. And what's so difficult, I guess, is that onus to prove your claims is always on the applicant, which as a lawyer I can kind of understand. But when a person's trying to demonstrate something that's inherent in them, something about how they feel or how they think, and because of those feelings or because of those thinkings, that's why they're in danger. It's a very difficult process.
Yeah,
getting casted out of your country and potentially threatened with death for coming out as a certain sexuality or gender identity, like after that happening, you probably wouldn't want to come out again to a complete stranger in a complete different country.
Yeah, there's not precedent for people being nice to you.
Yeah, exactly. You already know, well, like this has gotten me in trouble. So quick speed dating. Is what it's
quick though.
Sorry, really. I mean, speed dating. Queer speed dating. Is a an event that you guys are putting on. Was there a certain reason why you guys chose speed dating?
So it's multifaceted. I guess in 2014, when the federal government stripped away our funding, we had to come
very
up
cool
with ways.
Guys.
Yeah, really
good job.
We had to come up with ways to fund the work that we do. Yeah. We have thousands of people accessing RACS every year, and we need to find ways to get money to support that service. One of those ideas that we had in 2014 as the rise of Tinder was happening was people are looking for love. Let's use that as a fundraising idea. And we wanted to make sure that we were being inclusive in that process. Yes, we want to support the community to find love, but we also want to live what RACS believes, and that is creating a welcoming and inclusive community. So, of course, that means we need to reach out to the queer community also.
Yeah.
And so we thought, let's do it. I mean, we've seen online, we've done lots of Googling and searching, and there's often events for gay or lesbian, but there's not an event for the community. And it's still those events still require you to label and identify. We wanted to create an event where we're not asking you to label yourselves. We're not asking you to tick a box. We're just asking you to say, I'm going to come along and I'm going to meet some like-minded people. And in doing that, I'm going to help refugees.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is it's very often you see in the queer community in events. It's still quite segregated is a harsh word, but like it's still quite divided in like this is an event for gay men, this is an event for lesbians, not just like come along,
an event for
everybody, you know, not straights.
No,
well, I'll still be there, but as an ally.
and it's you know, I mean, like if you are a queer person looking for love, you should go, not just because it's a queer speed dating event, but also because we are not free until we're all free.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can do your part to support not just the queer refugees, but all the refugees that are struggling at this current moment in time. So what campaigns or causes is RACS currently lobbying the government for right now?
So there's a number of different things that we're working on. You might have seen the Qantas Stop Deportations to Danger, where we had a lot of people from the community support that campaign, where we've been lobbying Qantas to ask them to no longer facilitate deportations.
Yeah.
In terms of lobbying the government, one of the biggest issues affecting the refugee community is, number one, those affected by offshore processing, so shutting down Nauru and Manus. We need to get people to safety. Number two, we have this terrible policy of temporary protection visas. They are 3 or 5 year visas where every year you're going to need to demonstrate that you still need protection in Australia.
Why?
Well, this is the government's policy that if you arrived in Australia by boat, you are not eligible for permanent protection. And so every 3 to 5 years, you need to re-establish your claims and you need to re-establish to the Australian government that you still need that protection. So for people that identify as LGBTI, potentially they have the opportunity, in inverted commas, to have to explain every 3 to 5 years why they still can't return to their home country.
Yeah. So dumb.
Yeah. And the thing is with like climate refugees as well, like imagine in 3 to 5 years, a government official being like, well, do you still need protection? You're going, well, there's kind of no country for me to go back to.
It's underwater.
So, yeah, it's literally underwater. I mean, like Bangladesh is still facing like flooding, mm-hmm. and it's all of it's cooked. It's all cooked.
I think though, what's really pertinent for many of the clients that we work with, particularly those who are LGBTI, they don't have the ability to really come out in inverted commas. They don't have an ability to really live their true selves because what if someone in their community finds out?
Yeah,
and they're faced with that return in 4 years' time, in 3 years' time.
Oh, yeah, because it's like it's not permanent. Like, you might have to go back in 3 to 5 years. Yeah. Like,
and there's just that thing of, and that's what's so ridiculous about it. Like, it's obviously, like said, queer refugee has fled the country because their identity might have them killed. Mm-hmm. in their home country. So the fact that you'd have to, in 3 years' time, be like, yep, they will still want to kill me.
It's so bizarre because like even being out and queer in Australia, being that Australia is one of the most safe countries to be out and queer in, there's still a lot of violence, especially against like trans women of color. Yeah. Even like there's been a couple of murders recently using Grindr as like, so it's like, it's not a safe, you're not safe.
Yeah, you're not entirely safe.
But it's, like being, having that additional layer of being, I'm a queer refugee, I could get killed if this is revealed to people and I still don't have protection.
That's right.
It's
we're effectively still suppressing people by not giving them that permanent option to settle in a relatively safely community.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's wild. Well, if you when's it on? Where is it?
It's on the 17th of March. It's at the Marlborough Hotel upstairs in the, I think it's called Cuckoo.
Yeah.
You can jump on RACS's website, www.racs.org.au, and it'll link you to the event. And come along, have fun. You're guaranteed not to meet anyone who doesn't hold a similar view to you because everyone's there to support refugees.
Yeah.
So you're automatically guaranteed to meet some wonderful, wonderful humans.
Yeah, and you might meet the love of your life.
You might meet the love of your life. Well, Sarah, thank you so, so much for
thank
joining
you for
us
having
on the
me.
Show tonight. It's been absolutely awesome. And you can go to racs.org.au and find the link to the queer speed dating event.
We are not advocating for queer speeding.
Queer speeding. On this exact date, only queer people can speed.
I don't think you can say that on the radio, Ruby. I don't
it's
think
it's a fact.
No, it's not.
We no, it's do, not a
you
fact.
You can't speed. It's we can't drive, let alone speed.
Yeah, no, I still can't drive, but
I can, but not legally.
Oh, well, me too then.
I can drive a motorbike.
I can drive,
I can drive a hot air balloon. Yeah. I can drive a blimp.
I can drive ideas.
Shut
you
up.
Know, I can drive ideas to the people. That's all I'm saying. Unfortunately,
we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. But thank you so much for
with the
us.
Show. We're like, we have a lot of time.
I personally, I think I have a lot
metaphorically,
of time.
Physically, yeah. Metaphysically.
But yeah, you never know unless you pay that extra 500 gold to be able to see the time of death above your head. We'll never know.
What?
It's just an extra 500 gold and you can see the
who
time
do I pay this
of
to?
Your death. You know, the shop.
Ruby.
You pay the shop 500 gold, but you need to pay $17.99 to get 1,000 gold. But you get an extra 500 gold on
Ruby,
top of
stop.
That.
So stop
it's
it.
Fine.
Stop this.
We are living in a mobile phone game. It's terrifying and there's lots of microtransactions.
There is.
There, it's true.
I have to pay rent.
It's true. It's cool.
Anyway, wow. We are going to go. We have to live our lives, and you have to live your lives. Have a fun, safe, enjoyable Mardi Gras.
Thank you so much for joining us. Big thank you to Rhiannon and Silvio, our lovely, lovely, lovely producers. And thank you to Sarah Dale for joining us on the show tonight.
And we will be even having a special guest next week. I think it's time we can announce it.
Oh, yeah.
I think next week we will be interviewing Dorian Electra, an exclusive interview, very big for we're very excited.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dorian Electra. They are coming into the studio and we will be in their presence.
And I will handcuff myself to avoid any untoward screaming with the hands over the mouth, like cool. The painting The Scream. No, he's doing this. Never mind.
Yeah. I think The Scream was a lady.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was an orb person.
Maybe an orb person.
We shall discuss this after the show, but we're going to go now. We're going to leave you with some wonderful music.
Sweet, sweet music. I'm going to play a track from Alice Longyu Gao. A bit of an explicit
she
warning.
Cussin'.
She cussing. So this is Young Piece of Shit, Shut Up. You're listening to It's a Gay Area on Toy SCR 107.3. This is Young Piece of Shit, Shut Up by Alice Longyu Gao. Young piece of shit. You don't got to talk to me like that. You still ask your daddy for his cash. You have to talk the big game like a big pop star, but you got no extra strategy. The more you got, the more you sound like a brat. So shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You little pay young piece of shit. You don't.